What's God? What has God started? What does God want to do amongst us here in North London? Craig finished his series of meetings last week with a conviction that something has started. And he used that phrase a number of times, something has started. And tonight is a little bit of a where do we go from here night. And it's an opportunity later on to touch heaven down here in the river of God that we've felt and seen many times. And so we wanted to just to share a little bit about the way ahead. Just by way of background, I think that what's happened over these months hasn't just sprung up from nothing. But I believe God's been taking us on a journey as individuals, as churches, as we gathered here. God's been drawing us. Just speaking personally, you know, I came to London for just 6 months. That was my reason to come to London, just to earn some money for 6 months. I've been here 26 years. And I feel that God's had him for me, a call, a purpose, a reason to be here. And God's burned in my heart a passion for North London. And I'm desperate to see North London won for Christ. I've been here a long time. Over many years, I've prayed, I've fasted, I've prayer walked, I've reached out, I've served, I've given my life for North London, for what I believe to be the desire of God to reach this place, to see his kingdom here. And I've come here night after night over the summer because I want God to do something powerful in my life that touches me, that overflows, and that touches many people here in this city. Now, you all have a journey. You're all on a journey. And the reason you're here tonight is because you want God to do something more in your life. You want God to overflow in your life and do something extraordinary and amazing. And that's what's made these Sunday nights special, is that we're a group of people who are chasing God, asking that God would come and do something amongst us. And just thinking of the journey that we've been on, a number of us have been on this journey asking God, saying, God, we thank you for what you've done, but we believe there's more. Thank you for all you've done in our lives, but we believe that there's much more. We've labored, we've seen some fruit, but there's a conviction there has to be more. Craig came to Haringey in April 2006, and the result of him coming there was, I wrote to Craig in May 2006, asking him to come to North London, light something here amongst us. And he agreed to come for a weekend in September 2006. That spilled over into a week. And then he promised to come back. He came back in June. And 50 nights later, a summer has come and gone. And here we are. What's happened over these past 3 months, I believe, has been a God thing. And I keep hearing testimonies of what God's done in the lives of people over this last 3 months. And it's been fantastic just to hear some of the things that God's been doing over these months. What stirs me, it's exciting to hear what God's done in the past, but what stirs me is I know God wants to do more. I have a stirring in my heart that God wants to do more here in North London. And that what we've experienced is just the beginning of what God wants to do in this place. Craig's lit something. Craig's a fire starter. As you know, that's the thing that God's given Craig is a passion and a burning to light something. He carries a gift. Something started to burn. And when we started these meetings, we decided to call them Touching Heaven, because that's what we wanted to do, to sense, to see something happen, something of heaven touched. I was thinking back over the Sunday evening, particularly the Sunday evenings have been wonderful over the summer period. I was thinking back a couple of weeks ago, not so long, it was a few Sundays ago, and I was standing here. I'm sure you've all got your memories of particular powerful times, but one Sunday I was stood here not so long ago, and as the children came back up from downstairs, there was a real joy and celebration. And downstairs they'd been blowing up these big balloons. They were more than just balloons. They were huge ball things. And they started to throw them around. And the place just became, it became chaotic in one way as these balloons were bouncing around on top of our heads. But I just thought, this isn't it. There's just a sense of joy and a sense of praise, a sense of touching heaven. I thought, whoa, this is a taste of heaven. God, we want more of this. And our part is to meet and pray. We've been meeting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to come before God and to cry out to him, God, that you would visit this place. Thank you for what you've done over the summer. God, thank you so much. What you've done, Lord, is, I believe, just the taste. And I believe now we're faced with a season of working hard on our knees before God, crying out to him, saying, God, thank you for what you've done. We've tasted a little bit, but we're desperate for more. We've tasted something of your goodness. We have touched heaven. We have tasted a little bit. But God, we want so much more. That's the cry of my heart. And if there's anything in this season that I believe that Craig has left us with, it's a sense of dissatisfaction, it's a sense of joy and thankfulness for what God's done, but it's only a taster. And I know God has got so much more for us. And so I wanted to stir you tonight and encourage you that tonight, that this season is a season to get before God and to cry out for him, that he would come and visit us. He would come and visit us by his presence. He would come and touch us, and he would come and do all that he wants to do. I feel stirred. In one way, I feel stirred with thankfulness for what God's done. But in another sense, I feel a sense of holy frustration. God, surely you want to do more. God, surely you're going to pour out your spirit. God, surely this isn't it. God, surely there must be a lot more that you want to do. After being in London these 26 years, I feel now more than ever before, a sense of God's timing, a sense of God's stirring, a sense of God wanting to come to this city. My passion, your passion, I know, is for North London. You wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't care about North London. And I believe there's something God wants to do. How God's going to do it, what's going to happen, I don't know. We can't tell God what to do. All we can do is cry to him, ask for him, come before him and say, God, please, in your mercy and grace. We're going to be praying on Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30. Thursday, 7:30 to 9:30. And Friday, we're praying from 8:30 to 12:30. If you can't come to all those times, just come when you can. But I believe God wants us to press through, that we would touch heaven, we would see heaven come down, and what started to flow here to overflow and touch people's lives. I'm going to ask Jules to come and to share what God's... let's give Jules a warm... Jules has so kindly opened his church for us over this summer. Let's give him a warm thank you for his kindness. Jules, thank you so much. What a gracious leader. Over to you.
Thank you. You're so kind. So kind. Praise God. I did not quite catch you there. But bless you. Praise God. Praise God. It's good to be here. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to continue. It's one of the hardest things when something significant has happened before and you have been left to continue. And sometimes the standard can be so high, and we do not want to copycat what happened, because we let God himself do and carry on with us. Amen. And together we journey towards what lies ahead. The provisions of God, what he has for us, for each one of us. So things might be slightly different. Praise God. When the others say, I speak like Craig Marsh. Still praise God. Hallelujah. I know Jesus loved telling stories, good stories. Mine might not be as good as Jesus's, but let me tell you this story here. A sightseer was driving through the countryside, admiring the beautiful scenery, when he stopped his car to get a better look at an unusual sight. There was a barn with targets all over it. In the center of each target, exactly in the bull's eyes, was an arrow. He was so intrigued with this expert marksmanship that he decided to meet the farmer who lived there. When he inquired about the excellent marksman, the farmer replied, "No one around here is an excellent marksman. That was done by the village idiot. He comes out here and shoots arrows in the side of my barn, and then he paints targets around them." And so many are today. So many have reached the goals they have set for their own lives. They have hit the targets and spent a lifetime trying to explain to God why they never bothered to consider his targets for their lives. But we know one thing, that when you seek God, he will show up. And these words have been spoken so many times in the past. If we continue to turn up, he will show up. Turn with me to the book of Matthew, if you would please. Chapter 2. It's Christmas. God with us. But who tells you we can only preach Christmas message in December? Matthew chapter 2. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his stars in the east and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. So for thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also.' When they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way." Wise men sought the Savior. Wise men or more correctly, Magi or Magi from the East were trained students of the stars. In our time today, we might call them astrologers. They were also men of faith. They came seeking the Savior. Where did these men come from? How far had they traveled? How had these men seen the star in the east? How much do they know about the Messiah star or the Messiah himself? It is impossible for us to answer these and many other questions. The significant truth is that they came seeking the Savior. To echo what Paul said, we've come to chase God. We are following on their footsteps. Likewise tonight, and many nights to come, on Sundays, it does not matter where we come from, but we've come to seek and worship Him. We've come to seek the Lord. There is more than we have had in the past. Our target is changing, if not yet changed. Our lives now is being built around Jesus, around God. What used to be for me is first my priorities, and then God will come around my schedule. But I find myself the more and more placing God in the center. And anything else is just coming and falling into place around God. And then I bless the songwriter who wrote the song, Jesus Be the Center. We use the highest wisdom, just like these wise men. No wonder they were called wise men. We use the highest wisdom that man can exercise when we seek a deeper knowledge and a more intimate acquaintance with the Savior who came to die for our sins. In these meetings, we come to seek Jesus earnestly. He alone can deliver us from the tyranny of evil. He alone can lead us into the life abundant. He alone can give us victory over death. He alone can lead into the eternal home of God. And he says in John chapter 14 verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. When they saw the star, the wise men rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Matthew chapter 2 verse 10 says, if you would open up your heart and allow Jesus in, He will give you real joy. King Herod's squad came to kill the young child, as we found out in this story. But the wise men came to worship the Christ child, the Savior. When the wise men found Jesus, the Christ child, they fell on the knees before Him, giving Him the worship of their hearts. They opened their treasures, the Bible says, and presented unto Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. In a moment tonight, you will be given this opportunity to do just that, to open up your treasures and present your gifts to Jesus. Worship Him. But one thing I want to finish with is, the wise men saw the star and followed it. The star led them to Christ's child. you and I can be that star to others. We can lead many into this place where they will meet with the Lord. As Craig loves to say, the lover of our souls. Amen. Am I doing it right? He does that, doesn't he? Yes, my brother Nick. Let's give him a much more warm welcome than you gave me as he comes. Amen.
No heckling, Maureen. I heard that one. Jules may not have heard the first one, but I heard the second one. It's fantastic, you know, what God has begun. I think it was it's Joshua chapter 1. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. And it was the end point of 40 years in the wilderness. They come into the Jordan. It was a new day. And I believe for us, it's a new thing. And I think it's great that Paul and Jules and I can, we all wanted to share this evening, because I think that one of the things that God has done is this incredible thing of getting the churches together. Although some churches have fallen a little bit by the wayside and they've got, you know, their own programs and things to do, and we completely respect that. I believe that God has knitted the hearts of many of us together over these days, and God's one church, because there is only one overall, isn't there, is being expressed, and his blessing is on that. So thank you for coming this evening. It's, you know, we know we've had a lot of meetings, and there's a lot of praying going on. This last week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I think there was something like, there was over 40 the first night, 40 the next night, and 30-something the third night. And that's just fantastic, because it shows me that there's something going on here that is greater than us just coming to meetings. And what we wanted to share this evening really was a vision. And a passion that you can share, because this is something that involves all of us, isn't it? And it's been one of the nicest things that's happened to me over these 50 evenings, is that I've gained a new friend in Jules. And it's amazing, isn't it, that in God you can just meet somebody, and just like that, it's like you've known them your whole life. And it's been a privilege, and I think for many of us, you know, getting to know others in these churches has been a wonderful thing. And it's a blessing to be here, really. New life, we've always been homeless people, wandering like Bedouins from place to place, community center, dance hall, school, and it's an honor for us actually to be in a, you know, like a church building. So thank you to Chalk Farm. It's been a wonderful thing. And I think that blessing's going to continue. I think that our vision, you know, that God wants to do something really much greater than many of us could possibly realize. Craig, when he was here, you know, kept on saying this, you know, that God is doing something greater than you can imagine. And a few years ago, in 2002, in our journey, some ladies in New Life Church were at a women's conference, and there was a prophetess there. And she didn't know our church. She didn't know your church, you know. And she prophesied about what was going to happen in the future. And I got this out the other day, and it so fitted in with really what God has done. And some of these things I couldn't have imagined. Just to mention three of them. The glory of the Lord is in that place. And another thing she said was, the glory of God will be in the facility that God has given you. And God has given a little home just for now, maybe, who knows, for our churches to meet together and to experience the glory of God. Because that's what we're here for. We don't want meetings, do we? You know, we've been to many meetings. We want to experience the glory of God. And I believe as we come, as Jules has said, seeking the Savior, that the glory of God will come and something will happen. The second thing that she shared, this guy Dan Sneed, I've mentioned a couple of times. Some of us know Dan, he's a great man of God and a bit of a prophet. And he said in the weeks before the outpouring, or you know, Craig coming, or whatever we like to call it, the Craig Mash meetings, or the Craig Mashall meetings, as some of us like to say. He saw this fountain, and there were rocks being thrown aside, and this huge fountain, just, you know, like this huge water spout going up, and then the wind beginning to blow it, and as it blew on that water spout, it sprayed the water across the city. And I believe that was God. It's certainly been, I think, in all our hearts that this is what God will do. That here at Chalk Farm, I believe that this is the place, you know, where God wants to do that on these Sunday evenings. We're praying Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We are seeking the face of God, like blind men reaching forward in the dark. I love that bit in Acts where it says, and that they were reaching out, if perhaps, you know, they might find God. We know where we're going. We don't know how to get there, but we're going for Him. And as we do that, I believe that we're going to see increasing blessing on these Sunday evenings. We're going to invite people from time to time who we trust and pray that walk with God and can bring something of the Holy Spirit. But we want to see the glory of God coming in this facility so that water spout can go high and the wind can blow it across the city. God wants to bring revival to this city. He wants to bring revival in our lives, in this area, in this city, in this nation. And why should we not be part of that? If that's not the case, what are we doing here? We may as well go and live in the country. Why do we live in London? Because we've sold ourselves out to this vision of seeing God do something. And this is what this lady said. She said, a harvest is coming. And she saw a spout pouring into a fountain flowing across the area, penetrating into the surrounding area. Amen? I like that. And then further on, she said that she saw the church would be rocking and rolling and dancing with joy. Well, on those Sunday evenings, you know, the kids came up and it was mad. Mad it was. I remember one girl, a young lady from Kentish Town, recently become a Christian. And it was one of those mad evenings. And the kids were here. The banners were filling the front of the meeting that we were dancing with joy. My wife was standing on a chair. I've never seen her do that before. I saw somebody else with a baby on one arm and a tambourine in the other hand, and people were raiding the tambourine cupboard at the back of the meeting. And I thought, hallelujah. I wondered if I'd ever see it again. You know, when the Holy Spirit was bringing joy into this place, and it was a fantastic vision. And that we were rocking and rolling in the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to pray that increasingly, will you buy into this vision? You know, I think we're going to buy into it by praying and by seeking God, and by coming and expecting that if you will turn up, then God himself will come, as Craig said, didn't he? We're going to find ourselves repeating some of those things. Just a thought, really, for this evening, because I believe that this evening that we could experience some of that river in this place. In John chapter 4, it talks about a lady. And this lady was not a very good person. She had never worshipped with the Jews. And she met Jesus. She met Jesus. She brought her water pots up to the top of the hill, and Jesus was standing there. And he started to talk to her. And he talked to her about water. He talked to her about her deepest need. He said that if you would drink the water that I've got for you, you will never thirst again. I've got the verse here. This is what, you know, I can never do this. This is, you need a gift of the Spirit, don't you, to do this. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. If you knew the gift of God, who is the gift of God? Somebody tell me. The Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And I'll show you in another passage that the gift of God was the Holy Spirit. He was the promised gift. So he was saying, if you knew the Holy Spirit, and if you knew who it was who said to you, give me a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. So he's saying to her, if you knew the Holy Spirit, and if you knew Jesus, you would have asked, and I would have given you living water. Surely this is what we're here for, that we might experience, not have a religious experience. We are here to experience the living water of the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus wants to do amongst us. And it started with an individual. A little further on, it talks in John 7 about how Jesus met with the Jews. He invaded their religion, their culture. On the last day of the feast, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. This he spoke of the Spirit. It started with a well. Jesus said to that woman, if you drink of this water, it shall become in you a well of water springing up into everlasting life. One of the things that Craig said about revival was, revival starts in the heart of men and women. It starts in the heart of this woman and that man and that young lady. Do you remember? It starts with us, doesn't it? So first of all, we're praying for revival in our hearts. You know, as we come to these prayer meetings, I believe that the reason that we're coming partly is to seek God, but almost mainly it's for us to allow God to work in us, to change us. So if you feel the need for a change, if you feel for a need for to be revived, for more of the Holy Spirit, just come and pray. Because revival starts with us this evening, doesn't it? On that last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. There are three or four things in here. The first thing is, he said, is anyone thirsty? Isn't it amazing that we had 50 nights of Craig Marsh, and yet at the end we're more thirsty than we were at the beginning? Do you feel like that? In the Argentinian revival, I don't know if you've ever read a book by Claudio Friesen, and he talked about the year that the Holy Spirit put a salt shaker on their tongues. In other words, there was a year in their journey when they became very thirsty. The Holy Spirit poured out a salt shaker on their tongues. That's happened to me this year. That's happened to many of us, I think, over these days. God's put salt on our tongues and made us thirsty for more. That we're actually less satisfied than we were before because we know that there is more. I think it was almost like God had to wait for Craig to go because he wants to do something even greater in our hearts, because we're not seeking just to hear Craig, but we're seeking the Savior. We're seeking for him. And the Holy Spirit wants to bring revival in our midst. I truly believe that. It starts with us, an individual thing. And Jesus said, if you're thirsty, the first thing is to admit, if you're not thirsty tonight, say to God, I'm not thirsty. It starts with thirst. We will not drink if we are not thirsty. And then he said, and this is the key, and this is the clue for us this evening. And this is what I'd like to suggest that we do this evening. It says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. It's nice, isn't it, that it's Jesus here this evening, that it's him. He said, if you're thirsty and you want to be filled, then you must come to me. So simple, and yet we miss it. We come to the meeting, we sing the songs, we hear the sermon, and yet, you know, we can do all those things, and yet in our hearts, not come to Jesus. Not make that simple step. This morning at New Life, I got there to the meeting, and I realized that there was a distance between me and God. And in the prayer meeting before, I just knelt down, and in that 20 minutes as it went by, I just drew near in my heart. And as I drew near, he came down. But I had to humble myself to come near to him, to stop my own, to stop my world for a minute, to say, God, come, you know, come close. Let's come to him. And then we must drink. To drink, we must worship. Jesus said to that woman, give me a drink. And yet she was the one that needed the drink. But he said to her first, you give me a drink. And I believe that as we worship, as we praise him, as we love him this evening, that we could drink of the Holy Spirit. We could drink of Jesus as we worship him. It says, don't be drunk with wine, but instead be filled with the Spirit, speaking in hymns and psalms and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. That's how we drink, as we make melody with our hearts to him. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Jesus said to her, you'll never thirst again. And I will put something in you, a well in you that will spring up into everlasting life. So she came away satisfied and with eternal life. That's pretty good, isn't it? But yet, there is a greater thing here. There's a greater thing here, that from this place in Chalk Farm at this time, God wants there to be rivers of living water that will spread into the community, where there is a sense of God's presence in the community around, where we are just with people as individuals, and there's a sense of God's presence with us because we've touched something deeper than a well, where that well becomes a river that pours out of us and pours out of this place. What do you think? Good vision? I think it'd be good to just step into that river this evening and to come to Jesus in our hearts, and let's see what he wants to do. Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, new day has arrived. We've got nothing to prove. We're just here before God asking that he would pour out his Holy Spirit amongst us. Let's do that, shall we? Let's stand, shall we? Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being part of this vision, Lord. Thank you for 50 evenings of coming to the meeting and coming to Jesus and being changed and made thirsty. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. Thank you for every soul saved. Thank you for every life touched. Thank you for the thirst. Thank you for everything that you did, Lord. We are grateful. But Lord, we know there's more. We know there's more. And we're coming to you, Jesus. We're coming to you.